Garland Nixon here with Steve Poikin and his Griftbusters, and we are going to stop the curve in 1 hour. Let's go. Nixon here, and with Steve Poikin, and we are here to make sure that everybody's safe. We're here to make sure that nobody's walking around here breathing on anybody, spreading pathogens, make sure that all of these crazy anti-vaxxers don't screw us up, because we're making sure that we have our boosters, and every Wednesday is booster day. That's right, every Wednesday is booster day, and granted, there's nobody in the house with me. I don't see anybody coming in anytime soon, but that's okay. I might give myself COVID, and I can't trust myself. So, Steve, you think we're safe?
Well, I made a deal with Garland earlier. YouTube said if we were going to go live today, we had to have two masks on the show. And I said, hey, just wear mine.
There we go.
And that way we'll still have two. Because, of course, I have received, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for receiving the most boosters because I want to be safe.
Yes. And I'm actually...
What's that?
Yes, and I'm in for wearing the most masks at one time. You know, back in the 70s, they used to have this thing where the college students would see how many people they could fit in a Volkswagen Beetle. And that was like Guinness Book of World Records. Steve and I are working on the person who has worn the most masks at one time. What I'm thinking about doing is like buying boxes of masks and making a clothing out of them. I can have like in the wintertime a parka made of like 1,000 masks. Right. And then I'll just have a parka made of mask, a shoes. You know how people have duct tape wallets? Duct tape wallets are great. I'd say we make one out of masks and duct tape. Take the mask, cover it with duct tape, and then put a mask over top of that. But we'll have to wear masks while we're making it. And I think we're in the right direction to keep things safe. And there won't be another Ebola outbreak.
It would certainly keep your money as safe as any other bank.
Exactly. All right. Let's get going with important stuff, Steve. I think we got important things going on. I wonder if anybody, and I'm sure the answer is yes, if anybody has actually ever died from wearing a mask. Like maybe it went down their throat, they choked on it. You know, it's got the things, if it caught around their neck and choked them, if anybody's actually ever put on a mask and actually it cost them their life.
I do remember reporting on several cases of bacterial pneumonia that had gone fatal during mask hysteria 5 years ago. And I'm not saying for sure that they're related, but the only element that was introduced to that person's life that would have impacted their health in that way was the constant mask wearing. So I would say choking hazards aside, there probably have been a few, if not several dozen cases of people who inadvertently wound up dead because of their COVID mask.
Well, you know, and I hate to admit this, but I have on more than one occasion been driving down the road and looked beside me and there was a car with one person in it. And that person had on a mask. Right. And I will guarantee you that somewhere, somehow, somebody's riding down the road with a mask and it like slips over their eyes. Hey, oh God! You know, they're riding down the road with their mask on, and then all of a sudden, you know, they fall aside. Yo, no! Wham! Right in the side of a bridge abutment. They're done. I guarantee these damn things cost somebody their life. Look, people literally every year somebody drowns in a 5 gallon bucket. People like fall and get their heads in a 5 gallon bucket, slip. I know of there was an instance where this guy, he was babysitting his girlfriend's cat. She was out of town and he hated the cat. Now listen to this. He kicked at the cat. He tried to kick the cat. Apparently he slipped. He hit his head on a stone on a fireplace and his face went down, face down in the cat's water bowl, and he drowned. Yeah, you damn son of a bitch, cat. Wham! He kicks at the cat. Bop! He hits his head. Slips and hits his head. And he goes face down in a cat bowl and literally drowns. And he's found, you know, face down in the cat's water bowl.
I was in right next to, like, Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. Down in, right outside of Big Sur. And by Carmel, and I was on the beach, we're hanging out, and I see a guy out there surfing, and as the guy's getting closer, I start going, there's no way I'm making this up. I'm seeing something. I nudge the person next to me. I'm like, am I seeing that right? It was a guy. This is right during the beginning of COVID madness. This is in like early 2021. There was a guy out there surfing by himself with a neoprene mask on that matched his wetsuit.
Oh,
and I'm like, are you, there's sharks under you that will eat you. Are you trying, you're more afraid of COVID in the ocean than you are the sharks directly under you. All right, man. Okay. That's where we're at.
Yeah. A
weird old world.
Oh, I remember the glamour girls, you know, a lot of them, you know, the ones with all the silicone in all the right places, and the glamour girls who everything has to have a name on it. If you remember, they would have like Gucci masks. Remember that? Oh, and, you know, Louis Vuitton, they had masks with like the name. I'm thinking, you know, I hope those are like Chinese knockoffs, because if you paid hundreds of friggin' dollars for some cloth mask, which these masks don't really do anything, but what was shown, that cloth masks are like, you might as well have on a fishnet. They're basically, you know, the strands are so far apart.
Alyssa Milano with mm-hmm. her crocheted masks that she was selling. will forever be the peak, you know, lefty COVID insanity to me.
No, it, you know, my, go ahead.
Oh, no. But yeah. No,
you know what my favorite was? And you've seen it, I'm sure, the pictures. The band. There was a band. I think it was a marching band. And they had masks, but they had holes cut in the masks so they could stick their instruments through. And a guy's on the saxophone, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, I'm like, oh, what do you know? Birdman, you know, Coltrane, whatever, right? He's on the saxophone. And I'm like, what's the point of the mask here? And
it's
it became psychosomatic. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It became a ritual, really. It became a ritual that says, look at me. I'm part of the crew. I get it. It became something that you do, like, symbolic. It was ritualistic. It was not, at least to some people, I don't think it had anything to do with COVID per se. It was like, look at me, I'm not a right-wing Trumper or crazy tinfoil hat wearing guy, which, by the way, go to my, you can go to the show notes and you can get your tinfoil hats in various ways that are available on the merch store. So tinfoil hats are great. Make sure you get a tinfoil hat. Steve's got one. I got one. They got all different ways you can get them. So make sure you go there and get your tinfoil hat on the merch store. But yeah, it became, you know, a lot of things. Did you notice this? Even to some extent, the jab to me, to some people, there were people who like would go bragging about, I got mine and this and that. And I felt like this is a ritual. This is people saying I'm part of a group.
Yeah, it was a way to virtue signal. It was a way to get, like, herd-based moral superiority.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as a lot of us were warning at the time, because we were looking directly at research material from the manufacturers of the product, people started to get, hip to the fact that, oh, it actually doesn't prevent you from anything. So the media narrative shifted from all of, you know, MSNBC and CNN and the Biden administration itself going, once you take this, there's no more COVID.
So right.
It went from that to, well, it was never supposed to stop COVID. It was just supposed to, you know, augment or prevent or do this and that. And it was, well, that's not what you said, but you had to, extort, cajole, and otherwise threaten people to take it and hold their livelihoods and their homes over their heads as a result of it. You had to do that over something you knew wasn't going to work? Well, that's odd. That seems like it was less about public health and safety and more about public control. It's 6 years down the road now, when we've seen an initial 400% increase in all-cause mortality with a lasting 40-something percent increase in all-cause mortality, with the rise of turbo cancers, with the rise of all kinds of things that never existed before COVID, you have to be deluding yourself and so far deep into a cult at this point to repeat the same mantras from the 2020 ritual. I've got to say the alphabet while I wash my hands because the TV told me that I have to save the alphabet. And next week they said, we're going to learn about shapes and colors. Like, grow up. Please grow up.
Yeah. The COVID was a great learning experience for me. When I knew people who did this, and it stands against everything I believe in, they got in their car. They got in a line at a stadium in their car and they drove up when it was their turn and they put the window down and they stuck their arm out the window. You're in a line like cattle. You know what I mean? And they're like, they should stick this thing in your forehead and then just serve you up on a plate. Right. But it's like, okay, my turn. And you drive up, you stick your arm out the window, poink, and they inject what I consider an unknown substance into you. And then you just drive on about your way if you survive that. And then you go on about your way. And then you say, I'm good. I'm boosted. I'm this and that. And, you know, you ignore any other thing like, gee, I can't move my neck. And, oh, I have pains in my chest. And, oh, it's just kind of weird. I know people had all kind of weird stuff right afterwards, you know, and continue to have all kind of weird stuff. But you ignore all of that and say, I'm safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the doctor said I might experience a side effect or two. So it's perfectly natural that the thing that I'm putting into me to make me feel better would make me feel worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend say to me, yeah, you know, because we were talking, I said, yeah, I had COVID like two and a half, I'll say, because the last time I had it, it was like less than 24 hours and completely gone. Right. And the last time I had it, I took my horse paste. Like, I knew it almost instantly, and I started like 2 o'clock. It was like a Friday, and I started like 2 o'clock, if whatever it was. I started getting the same weird little headache and what have you, and like the next day I had nothing. Zero. It was gone that quick, right? Whatever it was. But whatever the case may be, and I said, yeah, you know, the first time I had that Omicron, it was a little bit of a pain, but it really wasn't much. I said the other two times it was like nothing, and the guy was like, COVID didn't bother me. He says, but when I got the jab, that tore me up, man. Every time I got, and I'm thinking, that's weird. It didn't tear me up because I didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
in hindsight, which should you have done? You know what I mean? The one that knocked the hell out of you or the one that wasn't all that bad? Even if it was bad, at least it wasn't voluntary.
I mean, they told you that you were going to turn into a bioweapon if you didn't take their bioweapon to combat their bioweapon. So it's a very circular conversation. You go back to Fauci at the Milken Institute in 2019, where he's making this big appeal to everybody in the room about how we've got to get away from your traditional egg-based vaccine and move towards something with an mRNA platform. But people aren't ready for it, so you have to have some sort of paradigm-shifting event. Unfortunately, said Fauci at the time, we haven't had that yet. When he made that statement, it was about 2 months before the military Olympics in China. And within 60 days of Fauci decrying the lack of international incident that would spark the necessity of an mRNA-based gene therapy treatment, boy, he sure did call it. That's very prescient from Dr. AZT there.
Let me read something. This order directs actions to reduce the United States' reliance on egg-based influenza vaccine production, to expand domestic capacity of alternative methods that allow more agile and rapid responses to emerging influenza viruses, to advance the development of new broadly protective vaccine candidates, right? You know what that's from? Executive order on modernizing influenza vaccines in the United States to promote national security and public health, issued September 19th, 2019. At the same time, right, that Fauci was out there saying, we got to get away from these old egg-based vaccines, Trump issued an executive order. You know, we got to get away from these old egg-based vaccines. And in that executive order, September 19th, long before, according to what we would even thought about, no pandemics, no nothing, nothing would be thought of, he issued an executive order on pandemics that had the word pandemic in it 18 times. This September 19th, 2019, if you read this, it was the beginning of what was called Operation Warp Speed. So Fauci is running around saying, we got to get rid of egg-based, whatchamacallit. Trump, who Fauci probably wrote this. Trump, of course, can't write well enough to write this. Trump then signs off on this, out it goes. And this is months before. My point is either they let it go, or as I suspect, as I have argued, it already got out of, it was, had already originated from Fort Detrick. And that was the mysterious fake vaping disease. But at any rate, but one thing's obvious, these people are all up to no good, Steve. And the only way that we can protect ourselves is to wear two or three masks at a time. And remember those plastic things that people wore that come down over your face? They fold down, like they look like a welder's mask.
Right, right. But it's the human salad bra protector.
Yeah, yes. Sneeze guard, they call it on the salad bar. So you had, I saw people in the airport who had a white spacesuit on, gloves with the tape around here, masks, the fold down thing, stuff all over there. Only their face was here. What the hell? In fact, this is a true story. I saw a whole family. Little kids, everybody, the entire family had on spacesuits at Baltimore Washington International Airport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My closest airport to me at the time was San Jose International, Minietta, and that was one of the ground zeros that they were telling us for COVID in the first place. And so whenever I would go there to fly out to D.C. or whatever, hang out with you and do some Assange stuff, there'd be a handful of people that had like full Tyvek suits on, mm-hmm. and then had, you know, they were even sealing their little face mask thing around the bot. Like, you're just cutting 100% of your air off, and that's going to help you. How? Okay. Okay. It's like when the anthrax thing happened and they were telling people to tape up their doors and windows.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're going to have a bot
suffocate, but you might.
Yeah, exactly. They told everybody to go out and buy duct tape and plastic and put it over your windows, and that's going to protect you. And I'm like, so if you live in Schenectady, right, you live in some small town in Mississippi, whatever, I'm supposed to believe that Bin Laden's coming there to, and where the anthrax coming from again? Fort Detrick. It always comes from Fort Detrick. That's where they always, whenever you see something, Ebola, Fort Detrick, anthrax, Fort Detrick, COVID, Fort Detrick. That's where they do that stuff from. It has Fort Detrick stamped on the package somewhere. Made in, not China, not Japan, not Bangladesh. Fort Detrick.
But hey, you fair citizen of Walla Walla, you're next on Osama bin Laden's hit list. You're next on Vladimir Putin's or Kim Jong-un's must target and destroy list. It's you, yeah, or for Overland Park, Kansas. You've got a lot to worry about.
How about Oshkosh? I think they're going to Oshkosh because they hate kids' clothes. They hate little kids, and, you know, they build Oshkosh clothes. How about, let's start here. So now that we're talking about little kids, the Kids Act would require age checks to get online. A new push for age verification online raises fresh concerns about digital ID surveillance and censorship. Well, wait a minute. It's the Kids Act, right? Well, the kids don't have ID, so they couldn't do it. It would affect me because I have to show. Now, you're going to ask somebody that's 112 years old, they've got to show ID to prove that they're over whatever it is 16 or 18. You know, what a joke. Anyway, your thoughts on the kids. It's about the children, Steve. What do you hate, kids?
Of course it's about the children, just like the Genius Act is about regulating commerce and finance. It's, you know, this is mirroring what the United Kingdom did. I recall right before Keir Starmer stepped down, like days before Keir Starmer stepped down, he made an announcement that was like, today is an historic day for the United Kingdom. Which when a politician comes on TV, it says, today's a really big day, you guys. You know everybody's getting fleeced. And so he made the announcement that the UK is going to digital ID. And then he immediately stepped down from office so that he's not the face of it. Some other poor schmuck is going to have to bear the brunt of that. And what that is about, just like what the Kids Act is about, is getting all of the adult citizenry on a biometric digital ID. Yeah. It's the UK has been trying to soft pedal this. And I have sent you another clip and an article in relation to this involving UK pubs. But the Kids Act is domestic here in the States. Same thing. Of course, kids aren't born with an ID and they don't go get one until they're a certain age. So it only applies to the people who are of adult age who need to distinguish themselves from, you know, I guess a no good punk kid. And yeah, this is just more in line with that. The United Kingdom, propaganda has to work differently all over the planet, because if the UK's propaganda was pushed onto us here, we'd inherently reject it as ridiculous. But because ours is tailor-made for us and theirs is tailor-made for them, this kind of goes over a little bit easier. It's all about getting everybody onto a digital control grid, and this is going swimmingly for the broligarchy, the tech nerds that are trying to push everybody into a Curtis Yarvin-like neo-feudal tech hellscape.
But wait a minute, Steve. It says this change will permit the use of certified and registered digital verification services for the sale of the alcohol where conditions are met. Will permit. Aren't they nice? They're going to allow it. And eventually that's going to turn into, you know, it's like they pass a law that says we will allow this. We will permit that to be okay. And then they're going to say, now you got to do it for everything. That's the way it comes in. But yes, I love that. Yes, they laying a statutory to deliver on our commitment to update the licensing act. So now they're delivering on their commitment. Is it a commitment to the people? No, it's a commitment to like the ruling class, the commitment to screw us to the ground, the commitment to cage us in the slaughterhouse. So they're delivering on their commitment. They have finally put its policy where its promises are. Don't you love that? They put its policy where its promises are on allowing digital ID. Well, that sounds like a good thing. They're going to deliver. Listen to this. Their policy where their promises are. They're delivering on their commitment, and they will permit us to do something. Oh, aren't they so kind? I don't remember us asking for permission.
The British government, long known for its benevolence and far-seeing love of all human life. Yes. Yeah. As we brought it up on AM Wake Up this morning, but if you just by nation states, there's a country somewhere in the world celebrating its independence from the United Kingdom roughly every 27 days. If you break it down into individual territories and stuff like that, every week there's a country celebrating its independence or a territory celebrating its most celebrated holiday in the world ever is independence from the United Kingdom. But hey, they did this out of the kindness of their heart, right?
Well, here's what I like. It removes the needs for customers to hand over physical documents. Right. Instead, you can just get it right out of their phones. Protects their privacy by disclosing no personal information. We have to believe that. Your computers are going to go into my phone and take information out. And I'm just supposed to trust that it's not going to disclose personal information. right? And significantly reduces flashpoints that lead to aggression or violence towards frontline staff. I've yet to see somebody who's asked for an ID just out punch the person. Hey, man, I'd like a beer. Hey, sorry, dude, you got to show me an ID first. You son of a bitch! Wham! I haven't seen that happen for some reason. But according to them, it's a regular occurrence. UK, let's see, since the scheme follows the same technical process as the forthcoming digital driving license, you know, whether a customer permits a Lucidity age proof, Yodi ID, post office easy ID, digital driving license, the experience will be seamless and consistent. They love words like seamless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, interoperability is their big buzzword. And that's basically what they're describing here. It's just everything's talking to everything else. Don't worry. We'll know at all times what your, you know, where your ID is, where you are, what you're doing, who you've been talking to, what you've been talking about. This goes along with the Signal Trace software that they're sticking next to all of the Flock cameras now, where it reads Bluetooth, all of the Bluetooth signals coming out of your vehicle, all anything with an RFID, everything on your phone, along with your license plate. And a lot of these cameras now have added facial rec technology so that they can identify everybody in the vehicle, even if you've got one of those like Faraday pouches that you put your phone in.
Yeah. So
the signal doesn't transmit. Across the bay from me on the Richmond Bridge, they're starting to install all of the cameras that have facial rec in them. So they're trying to, they're trying to create a panopticon. And people are pushing back. I'm very happy to see that. While we're still on this in the UK thing, can you bring up that commercial that I sent? I think it was the only Twitter link. But this is what the UK, we made fun of this so hard on the show when they dropped it. This was Christmas going into 2025. The UK government wanted to soft launch their digital ID thing. So they put out, I think, one of the worst commercials ever made. And I say that having grown up in the 80s and 90s and watching TV there.
All right. So this is what, the digital ID commercial?
Yes.
Right, mate.
Right, mate. Can I get a pint of lager, please?
Yeah, of course. Can I just use my
beer? Yeah, no worries.
It's got this somewhere here. Hi, can I have a pint of Christmas cracker, please?
Certainly.
I know it's a surprise for everyone, but I don't get asked for my ID anymore. But for loads of young people, they get asked all the time when they want to buy a drink. So we're changing the law so that next Christmas, young people will have their ID on their phone, so they won't have all of the hassle of needing to get ID or leaving their ID at home or their paper ID getting lost or damaged. There's already 50 digital apps like this one. But what it means is that bar staff can scan to prove somebody's identity, and it doesn't give away any personal information. So it means that giving your ID is safer than it's ever been before. Changes like these are going to create economic growth for our country, which is key to our plan for change.
There you are.
Great, thanks. You put it on the tab. So this means by next Christmas, buying a pint will be a little bit easier.
Great. Yeah, all good.
There you go, mate.
Cheers.
£7.20, please. London prices. Merry Christmas.
Well. You know what, Steve? I feel so much better. I'm looking at that. Isn't that amazing? I get to watch some guy walk in. Now, here's the thing about it. Would I be wrong in assuming that if I go somewhere and they scan it and they say, you're 18 or whatever, that somewhere in there, something is registering Garland was here And this is what he bought. And this is how much money he spent. And this is what time he was here. And now that I've registered that he's here, I'm going to keep all this other information off of what he's doing and what he's, you know what I mean? It's one more inroad. Hold up that up. Scan. Garland was here. Mr. Nixon, where were you on the night of December 24th? Home. You're lying. You were in a bar. We got it right here with your digital ID. You bastard. You're going to jail.
Right. Right. Not only do they know what you ordered and how much money you spent, they know how much money is on your card.
Yes.
Or on your phone. Ooh. Because your entire wallet and all of your information is contained in that one little tap right there. So all of that information is being harvested. It's a third party that created the app. The United Kingdom's government doesn't have a computer science lab where they're churning out these apps. They're contracting. And the people who make it retain ownership of data so that they can then sell it off to other third-party data brokers. It's all to better target market you or track and trace you and keep you in their little digital grid.
And eventually, when they get finished completely wiping out the economy and we don't have enough gas, so we all got to drive in ride an electric Waymo, and we don't have any jobs because the economy has crashed, but they save us by giving us digital money once a month. Guess what? That's tied to that. And if you are somewhere, Mr. Nixon, apparently you were in the area of this anti-genocide rally last week. We see that you bought three beers at a bar where there was an anti-genocide rally. Do you see that you did this, do that? Yeah, your digital monthly digital allowance is going to be a little short. We're going to cut it by 50%. But I'll tell you what we'll do. If you're a good boy this month and don't go to anything like that, then we'll reinstate that 50% next month.
And if you're a really good boy and you go on social media and you make some posts apologizing for your previous bad behavior, we may even restore some of your travel credits.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll be able to go the full 15 minutes from home.
Right.
Not only partials of the 15 minutes, which is all you're allowed. 15 minutes. That's what you get.
Yeah.
In one direction. If you get out and you can't even walk further, because if you walk further, our phone's going to tell us where you are because of your GPS. So at that point, you stop and you head backwards.
We will dispatch the behavior modification drones.
Oh, yeah, that's coming. That's coming.
Yes. I know this isn't related to what we're talking about, but I read an article earlier this week about how South Korea's military wants everybody to be a drone pilot and a drone warrior. Yeah. And they want to like triple the size of their military because, of course, their neighbor to the north is a menace. And in order to combat the looming threat of Kim Jong-un, you gotta have an entire country full of militarized drone operators.
What's interesting is I just interviewed KJ No, and what he was telling me was, and I already knew this, in the event of war, the United States takes full control of the South Korean military. It becomes part of the U.S. military. The South Korean government and South Korean legislatures are now saying, look, we don't like that. We want to take back control of our military. And the U.S. government said, nope, not happening. You don't have sovereignty. We want to get this war on China, and we're going to have to use your people as cannon fodder, and you don't get a say. You know, so it's interesting that you should bring that up at the same time that this is going on. All right. Now, speaking of things going on with computers, and we are so happy that there's data centers everywhere. Uh-oh, my thing's moving. Hold on. Crap. If I freeze, don't be surprised, because sometimes this thing acts a little weird. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about data centers. County with 37 data centers as schools to conserve electricity, right? On June 25th, the county manager of Henrico County, Virginia, John Vitukas, sent an email to thousands of county employees asking them to help the local government conserve electricity. The rate we pay, right, is increased by 25%. We anticipate more rate increases in the years, right? Blah, blah, blah. County of 350,000 in Eastern Virginia just holds 37 data centers, right?
Which is an egregious amount to begin with.
Unbelievable amount. So basically what's happened there, it's here to me, Steve, is they built all these data centers. They're sucking up all the electricity. And now we're like, hey, look, kids might want to learn to read and write. They might want to learn to cipher, to read and write. And if they learn how to read and write, they might get notions. And we don't want them to get notions. So rather than read and write, tell them to stay home and conserve electricity and stay uneducated.
Well, it's that along with, therefore, you, the resident, have to foot the bill for our energy consumption. So along with you, you know, cooking less or cooling your home less or even showering less, whatever they're suggesting you cut back on, you're also on the hook for their rampant expenditures. Yeah.
Wow. I never thought about that. You're right. Why are we paying additional electricity? When the data center caused that, the data center should have to pay whatever additional amount it is. But see, what happens, I think, too, is there's the price gouging. What I believe happens also is this, Steve. You got the electric company, such as Constellation Energy here, right? So this electric company says there's data centers. We can get away with jacking up the prices. You know, regardless of whether it costs. Sure, they use a lot, what have you. But then they say, look, we can get away with gouging you. There's a hurricane and you want to buy a generator? Ho, ho, ho. The price just went in. Guess what? As soon as we put data centers here, we put one, there's word we're going to get a data center. Jack the price up by 15%. Why? Yeah, people expect it. There's a, you know what I mean? I think that's good. I will guarantee you that stuff going on too. In fact, I will bet you got places like companies like Constellation Energy calling, asking these, hey guys, could you put a couple data centers in? Why? Because then we can jack the price up by 50% and make a fortune.
Yep. There's right near us, Pacific Gas and Electric, one of the largest criminal organizations in California, is building out like this emergency center. So they've got all these semi-truck ass ends that are full of generators. And so whenever there's an outage that's more than likely created by overuse from a data center, they'll be able to power the data center again. Like we're kind of screwed. We're going to be on the hook for paying more. Everybody's electricity bills are going up just because they're engaged in the project. The project's not due to be done until mid 2027, but everybody's rates are starting to rise in expectance of it. They want everybody to get used to the full squeeze. So we're getting a half squeeze right now.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Everything is, how can we suck more money out of the working class people? How can we draw? They got a couple of extra pennies, squeeze them harder and get more money out of it. And the government is not complicit in it. The government is a driver behind this. The government is the one. It's like the person who has, you know, what does the mafia do when they want something? They send out some guy to beat you up. The government's the guy that goes out and breaks your legs and goes up and makes sure that you give all the money to the corporations.
And when the government breaks your legs, they will give you the opportunity to pay for it yourself at triple the cost that you normally would in any other country. They're nice like that. They're going to sell you the healthcare back that's going to make you better. It probably won't make you all the way better, but it'll make you maybe better enough to get back to work and start producing a little bit more for your resident tech overlords.
Well, let's see. The SCOTUS is up to something. Let's see what they've been doing. So the Supreme Court has made a bunch of rulings. One of them is geofence warrants require constitutional privacy protections. The Supreme Court has ruled that law enforcement's use of sprawling warrants that sweep up smartphone location data requires privacy protections under the Fourth Amendment and a boost to critics who view their use as an unconstitutional dragnet, right? And you need warrants. But here's the thing. Yeah, it says an individual has reasonable expectation of privacy and records about his cell phone's location. Now, here's the problem with it, is that the government, the police can't do it. But what they tend to do is this. They tend to do, they can still, let's say Android has all your stuff, which they do. The government can then go ask Google, hey, give me all the Garland stuff. Now, if Google says no, then they got to get a warrant. But if Google doesn't say no, they don't. See, that's what people forget. So if the Supreme Court says you need a warrant to get all of Garland's location information from Google. If Google says no, says yes, they don't need a warrant. If Google says no, they got to get a warrant. So all they do now, since Google is part of the government, Google says yes. Anyway, your thoughts.
So to me, this establishes a precedent by which we can use to get rid of all of the surveillance tech. If you can successfully argue that geofencing exceeds a reasonable expectation of privacy, and you have to have a warrant in order to obtain that data, then what the hell are all the other cameras doing out there on the road?
Good point.
Why are they, don't they egregiously more so violate a reasonable expectation of privacy?
Good point. The argument
for the license plate readers has been your license plate is in public. Every time you leave the car, no, that doesn't exceed a reasonable expectation for privacy because you're displaying the thing yourself publicly. Well, yeah, you get pulled over and you get your car taken if you don't. But they forget that part. But this specifically says, no, it's an overreach to incorporate geofencing. Well, exactly what are the ALPRs doing other than creating a massive city or countrywide geofence by which all of your other information can be extracted? So I kind of view this as like a rare W for the Supreme Court. Because of the implications that it gives for other cases revolving around reasonable expectation of privacy. Doesn't mean it's going to go our way, but it's something we can definitely hammer home. And in conjunction with that, especially where all the, ALPRs and stuff like that are concerned, another way that you can get rid of them in your community is just by asking whoever, whether it's city council or, county government, whatever it was that signed the contract, hey, can we see the privacy report that you guys conducted to see how it would affect all of us, the impact report? Oh, you didn't do that? Oh, and you still signed the contracts? Oh, well, then you violated the law and we can now sue you under Fourth Amendment rights for the entire county. And they'll go, or we could just get rid of the cameras. And you go, hey, that's a neat idea. I'm glad you thought of it. Let's do that. This is why you were elected, for your big brains. Good thinking. Let's get on the removal of these right away.
Yeah, well, let's hope for the best. Now, I tell you what, I got a better idea, Steve. Here you are fooling around with all that stuff. And it's a boring life out there. I want an AI friend to do like this. That's a look. My AI friend says this song for your walk home tonight. Trust me. Don't you like that? Trust me. Heroes. What a great song. I mean,
it is a great song, but that guy's sitting there in a Metallica shirt. He doesn't look like the biggest Bowie fan.
Well, here's my question before this goes any further. Is that a guy or a girl?
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, no, it's gone. It's an application error. It just disappeared.
We already got ghosted by our brand new AI friend.
There we go. Oh, I think it's a girl.
Okay, I'm think you're sure right. I think you're now. Right. It did have the same like 80s hair metal thing.
Yeah, and then there's a what do you call it? I guess a
an androgynous skater kid.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know, the blonde-haired girl, the really weird guy. That's a weird-looking dude right there. That's
right.
A serial killer.
Yeah, that's somebody on at least one or two lists, for sure.
That's a sick bastard right there. I don't want to, but that's an AI friend. Oh, an AI friend. Look at that.
That guy knows his neighbors because the court makes him introduce himself to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got these. A skater, green-haired dude, and really frightening people. So those are your AI options for AI friends. Do you want the green Asian guy? Do you want the psycho killer with a plant? I mean, if that was a weed plant, it would make sense. But in that it's there's probably some kind of a poison, I'm thinking, that something that you grind up and put in some poor unsuspecting person's food and it kills them in slowly. Not instantly. He doesn't want to kill you slowly. He wants you to slowly. He's going to come over every day. Hey, I made some brownies. Would you like some? And you just eat them. And every day you get a little sicker. and a little cigarette. And after a while, you start throwing up. You go to the doctor, and they can't figure out what's wrong with you. Here, have some more brownies, Garland. Man, I love my buddy next door. He brings brownies every day. They're delicious. Then eventually, they find you face down in the yard, and they can't figure out what happened. So, yes, I've got an AI friend. And before we go, we can never go without talking to, what's the guy's name? See, before this goes any further. Where's the guy? We got to get some info, and here's where we're going to get it, Steve. You ready? Are you ready? We got to go to GP Jew.
Oh, that's AI right.
Rabbi bringing you Jewish answers without the guilt trip. You know what's interesting about that? Doesn't that face, did you see what was the Will Smith thing? Well, with the robots.
AI. Oh, yeah, iRobot.
iRobot. The face looks exactly like iRobot.
Yeah.
With the blank eyes.
Right. And by the way, those robots very quickly violated Asimov's three rules.
Yes, they did. Well, they were here to serve us. As is GP Jew. He's the first AP. He's friendly. He's funny. And he's wise. And he's here to answer our Jewish questions. There we go. Thank you for supporting the mission. Toda Rabba. There we go. GP Jew. So we cannot end the show without, you know, getting our guidance, life guidance from GP Jew. Finding this, what we should know, think, and believe. And I think I understand now. What's important is that I find all the flock cameras and constantly drive in front of them. That I pay my higher electrical bills without question. And that I make sure I have a digital ID on my phone. And you know what's interesting when we get back to COVID? When they gave people these COVID, apps, like in New York and different places in order to get on the bus or the train or whatever, you had to have these apps, right? And back then we were saying, you know, they're getting you used to that stuff. You know, this is a setup. You know, they're training you like a dog. They're going to hit you in the snoot with a newspaper coming up soon so that you'll get accustomed to having an app on your phone that you have to show in order to go in anything and restaurants or whatever. And once you get used to that, then, you know, you'll get a little bit of break while they let you rest and get them and while they get everything together. And then they'll hit you with it again. And the next time it ain't going to be quite so friendly. It wasn't friendly that time, but it ain't going to be friendly. Really ain't going to be friendly this time.
We kept telling everybody in the moment that COVID is an IQ test. It's up to you to pass, but boy oh boy, I remember the first time they implemented like the QR code menu thing.
Yes,
and everybody was like, okay, but if we're gonna do this, we don't have to tip anymore, right? what is it exactly that you guys do now? Like, we're going to pick up the food from the counter. We're ordering it ourselves. There's no human interaction whatsoever. God forbid you want a refill or another round or something like that. That's a 25-minute process. It's all about removing everything natural and everything human from our existence and replacing it with a terrible facsimile of the real thing. And people, because they've been so beaten down into not trusting their neighbors, not trusting institutions, not trusting their governments, not trusting anything, are going along with it because it gives them, even though they've given up all control, it gives them a semblance of it. And that's worth more than the actual human experience, because humans are highly untrustworthy, corrupt, immoral, and often violent, and should be avoided at all costs. Unless, of course, you're in the middle of downtown Mexico City and their team just won a knockout stage World Cup match, then you're going to be fine. You're going to be well-fed. You're going to be taken care of. You're probably going to be covered in alcohol, but that's okay because you're going to be drunk anyway.
There we go. So you, Steve and I, before, you know, we got to go. We're about to meet our perfect AI girlfriend with Spicy AI. Dive into the Spicy AI experience and find companionship like never before. Engage in personalized, intelligent conversations with your ideal AI girlfriend. Try Spicy AI now. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited, Steve. Spicy AI. That's the thing for me. You know, it's like you're looking at this and you're like, man, don't people realize that every single thing that you sign up for, they're taking your info, and then they're going to Epstein you. Then she's going to say something. Oh, aren't you interested in tentacle porn or something? And you're like, I don't know, tentacle porn. Ah, got it. We got it. Tentacle porn. Quick, send tentacle porn to him. You know. And then she goes, well, you know, child porn's okay. I don't want child porn. No problem. I'll send some right to your phone right away. I don't want child porn, Mr. Nixon. We understand you have child porn on your phone. What are you talking about? Down on my phone. You do now. You're coming with us. You know what I mean? It's all a setup. It's all set up.
My AI girlfriend set me up. I didn't want that on my phone.
Hey, oh well, sewer. Oh, by the way, you can't. Why? You didn't read the terms of service that says you can't sue her. You read the terms of service, may upload child porn to your phone. And you'll get 20 years, but you can't sue us for doing it. It's right there in the terms of service that nobody reads. Sorry, Mr. Nixon. The courts ruled that if they, as long as they tell you they're going to upload child porn, that that's just the way it goes. For God's sake. All right, man. Where can everybody find you, Steve?
Go over to Rumble or Substack or BitChute or Odyssey for AM Wake Up 5 days a week. We are also, as of 2 weeks ago, streaming every day on the Ground Zero Plus network. So shout out to Clyde Lewis and everybody over at Ground Zero Plus for picking up the show. And thank you. Yeah, go check us out.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, everybody. Follow Steve and check out all his good work. His show is fantastic. Hey, thanks, everybody, for, you know, donating, whether it's Patreon, PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, at the bottom, I do have, for those who want to mail, send a snail mail. There's a P.O. box, too. I'm out. Or we're out.